Yeah. Y'all checking out the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show, and I'm your host, Victory, BX Supreme Promoter, basically. Nah, I mean, I'm Shane, basically. Yo, I'm here with my man Panic, representing Chi-Town, producer slash DJ. But before I introduce him, real quick, anybody that liked this episode of the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show, I'll be very grateful if anyone follow me on Instagram. I got two Instagram pages or two Instagram accounts. Grind Ethics Mixtape Show at Instagram and Grind Ethics Media at Instagram. Also, hit me up. Subscribe to me on YouTube. Grind Ethics Mixtape Show on YouTube. You subscribe to me and I'll subscribe to you back. And not only that, if you're a business owner or artist, I'll promote your business 3 days on one of my Instagram profiles on some bartering shit. Know what I mean? Know what I'm saying? Basically. Also, I'll be very appreciative. I'll be very grateful if anyone could bless me with a small donation. My link is Grind Ethics Cash App. That's Grind Ethics Cash App. Now, I'm here with my brother, represent Chicago, producer slash DJ Panic. What's going on, brother?
Peace, man. What's going on, man? Just chilling over here.
No doubt, no doubt. How's life in Chi-Town? I'm wondering. Because New York, I'm in New York. And New York, I might have never been to Chicago, but I've seen videos for years of I've seen videos and pictures of Chicago for many years. And it kind of do look like New York.
Yeah, it kind of does. I lived in a couple cities. I lived in Mexico City. I was born and raised in Chicago, and I recently lived in Dallas, Texas. But I came back to Chicago, and you know, this is where I was born and raised. So yeah, man, it has a lot of similarities to New York, you know.
Especially the subways, because you know how Chicago got the outside trains, the outside train tracks. We got that in New York.
Yeah, I've been in New York twice. It's been a long time, but I've been in New York twice.
I know you had to go to Cedric in the Bronx. You had to go visit the spot where Kool Herc actually performed his first DJ parties.
You know what? I didn't go there. But I did go when it was Rocksteady anniversaries, like in the late 90s, early 2000s. I used to go to those and stuff like that. And I met a lot of people there. I just met a lot of people, you know.
Oh, you went to the Bronx?
Yeah, I did go to the Bronx. I just didn't go to that part. But I did, you know, I just met so many people, you know what I mean? Yeah, Lord Fernandez, Percy P. Oh man, JVC Forbes, Van Bada, man, just so many people. But it was kind of cool, man.
Yeah, I kind of grew up seeing them cats. Well, not grow up, but I've been seeing Zulu Nation since I was in junior high school. Kids used to be down with Zulu. They used to treat that shit like a gang. I thought it was a gang at first.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They treat that shit like a gang. Like, come on. Like, no, we hip hop. We represent the culture.
Yeah, over here, gang is a gang.
Over here, gang is a gang. Yeah, that's right. Chicago, and that's one thing about Chicago. Y'all kind of look like New York. Y'all cold. Not just New York. Chicago's colder. But y'all got that gang life like L.A.
Yeah, like, well, here's the thing, though. From my understanding, I might be wrong, but, like, the blood, like, it was originally somebody from here that went to L.A., you know what I mean? Yeah, it was a gangbanger from here that went to L.A.
Oh, that had a lot of stories.
Yeah, the Blood and the Crips, actually, like, gang members from here that went to L.A. That's what I heard. I might be wrong. Somebody, you know, check me on it or whatever, but that's what I heard. Yeah. We definitely had some deep gangbanger ties over here in Chicago, stuff like that.
Yeah. New York, New York, we don't got no more of our own gangs. We either got Midwest gangs or gangs derived from California. I would say the last gangs that we had in New York was back in the 80s, 90s. We had the Lowlives and the Decepticons. The Decepticons, I don't know if you ever heard of the Decepticons. I think they were only in New York. They were crazy. Them motherfuckers was catching wreck.
Yeah, I definitely heard of them. Yeah,
actually, Onyx used to be one of a Decepticon. Sean Price, okay. a few rappers.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Nice.
But yeah, man, how you guys started producing, basically?
Man, well, really, man, like, you know, I'm kind of old, you know what I mean? And I first started, like, listening. My music's always been part of me ever since I was a little kid. You know, my older brothers and sisters probably used to listen to music and stuff like that. So it used to just stick in my head. But I actually started listening to, like, the first thing that caught my eyes was Nuclear Jam on it and Run DMC. Yeah? So when I got into that, like, I first started as a fan, and I'm still a fan to this day. I started as a fan, and hip-hop just sucked me in, you know what I mean? It was just slowly but surely, I started getting more interested in stuff, and just started buying records, and after that, like, just hip-hop records, but after that, I wanted to start digging, and it just took over me, man. By the time I noticed, I was putting stuff out, you know? Yeah.
Okay, definitely, definitely. Y'all remember the first time I seen your profile? You have a show on IGTV called Dig It in the Floppies. I'm like, yo, you took me back when I first started making beats, and that's where I was putting my beats, and it was the floppy disk. That you took me back. You took me back to the MPC 62 days.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Oh, man. And I love that song, Digging in the Floppies. Digging in the Floppies. I'm like, this shit is mad fucking unique. I'm not even going to ask you, because it would be a stupid question. I'm not even going to ask you what inspired you to do that shit.
Well, it all boils down to hip-hop. But the thing about those floppies is, see, this is the thing. Those beats are like 20, 30 years old, you know?
I can imagine.
So a lot of people that never heard of me, they think that those beats, they just put them out right now. That I just made it yesterday to put the video out, you know what I mean? So, but as you see, when I'm putting those floppies on the video, they show the dates on them and stuff like that. So yeah, man, but a lot of those floppies were like certain rappers rapped on those floppies and stuff. So when I put them up, like, certain people recognize what beats those were, you know? Like, it could have been something that Roscoe and Planet Asia used, or Vinny Paz, or I don't know, somebody, you know?
Oh, you worked with Planet Asia?
Yeah, I worked with Cali Agents. The Cali Agents album, I did, like, I don't want to brag, but I did, like, their best songs on that album.
I think you said Planet Asia.
Yeah, Cali Agents, Planet Asia and Roscoe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I remember it. Me and Planet Asia, we kind of like family members to a degree. You both from the Nation of Gods and Earths. So I remember 20 years ago, we was in Mount Morris Park in Harlem smoking some weed, me and him and a couple of my other peoples. But yeah, Planet Asia, I haven't seen him for years though.
Yeah, me neither, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, but yeah, he's a cool brother. Who else, what other artists you worked with?
I mean, I could run down the line. I mean, I've worked with Kool G Rap, I worked with Percy P, Granddaddy IU, Dell, Casual, Virtuoso, Vinny Paz, Army of Pharaohs. I mean, I work with a lot of people. Slug from Atmosphere, Brother Ali, Grass from New York, you know, different people.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the catalog is thick, man. I've been making music for a long time.
What about Razzcast?
I actually did work with Razzcaz. Vakil, he's my, you know, me and him came up. I don't know if you ever heard of Vakil, but he's from here. He did a song with Razzcaz, and yeah, he rapped over my beat. And I did a song too with Vakil and Royce da 5'9" too. Uh-huh.
Royce da 5'9". Wow. Yo, let me ask you a question. Was you the one that produced Miami Life with Razzcaz?
No.
Oh, damn. That was one of my favorite Razzcaz joints.
Yeah, that's a dope-ass track. I know that beat, too.
That song is really underrated. Like,
yeah, it is. It is a good-ass track. Definitely. Yeah, man, I've been making beats for a while, man. I just love making music. You know what I mean? That's my main motivation for it.
Now, how you felt when you first got your first check off of making beats?
Wow. It's unbelievable. Even though to this day, when somebody pays me for music, I'm like, wow, I'm getting paid for this. You know, it's a great feeling because, you know, to have something that you have so much passion for, like music, and it's something that you make and somebody's paying you for it, it's like you feel like you're cheating in life, you know what I mean? Because it's just the perfect combination.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it feels great. And it felt great the first time, and to this day, it feels great.
Wow. What'd you spend the money on? You went balling out of control?
I might have got a couple polos, you know?
Uh-oh, you low life.
You know? I don't do it as much as I do now, but I don't do it now. But when I first got some money at the beginning, yeah, I used to get little things like that.
You don't look like a materialistic ass cat, anyway.
I'm really not. But sometimes you want to have something. And, oh yeah, it looks kind of nice though. But yeah, I'm not materialistic at all.
Okay, yeah, you still get paid for them records, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, to this day. Yeah, there's songs that are 20, 30 years old. It's still like, you know, you still get those monthly checks for.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I hear that. That's cool.
Yeah, man. I love making music. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. It's your interview. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, I just love making music. That's pretty much that simple. It's that boring, but that's simple.
Now, what I was about to ask, have your parents ever supported you in your endeavors when you told them, yo, I want to be a music producer? Was it like, yo, go to college and get a real job? Hell's fucking no.
I mean, when I first started, yeah, of course, I was like the weirdest guy, you know, like, they're like, what the hell are you going? First of all, I'm in Chicago. It's not even New York, you know what I mean? So they didn't even know what the hell with hip-hop was, you know? So they just started seeing me damaging their record players and not going to school and stuck in a basement. And they're like, what the hell's going on with this guy? Go get a job. Go to school. I actually went to school for a little bit to kind of like quiet them down, but at the end, they knew that this was my passion, and they started seeing, like, you know, like newspaper clippings and magazine clippings, and they started hearing things, and then they started understanding a little bit. Slowly but surely, they started understanding, you know?
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, that's great. Where are you from, actually? What's your nationality?
I'm Hispanic. Like, my parents are from Mexico. But I was born in Chicago.
Okay, because it seems, yeah, because, you know, us foreign, because, you know, I come from foreign parents myself, and they on some, yo, get a job, go to college, get a degree, blah, blah, blah. But nowadays, with the internet and all that, and social media, and so many, you got kids that got their own businesses. I'm talking about established businesses. It's like, what do you need a degree for now? A degree for what again? A job that a robot is going to take over anyway? Like, I think I'm wasting my money.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's becoming more and more like that every day, you know?
Yeah, the economy is heading for an entrepreneur market. That's what it seems like to me, because a lot of people on social media, I'm sure you see yourself talking about financial literacy, or buy my financial literacy course, or check out my podcast show talking about business and entertain, talking about business or whatever. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I mean, when I look at most people's, they might not look at it that way, but when I look at people's social media accounts, I look at their accounts as a business. Now, if they want to look at it as a soap opera, that's them. But a lot of people that have their social media accounts, they're selling things. Yeah,
exactly.
A lot of people are selling things.
Yeah, especially myself.
I mean, but it's the reality, like you said, it's the future, though, you know, with cryptocurrency and robots working at the stores and Amazon and all this other stuff. It's like it's headed towards, like you said, entrepreneurship. So you have to think that way. You know, the future is that, you know, so we all have to think that way. And people that are younger than us are already thinking that way. They're naturally going into that.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Naturally, they're going into that. Exactly. They are. But their parents are telling them, go get a job. Like how yeah. Our parents told, like, listen, this is not the 1950s no more, where the middle class 9-to-5ers made so much money they could afford to buy two houses. I mean, not two houses, two cars, or afford to buy a house, or at least a down payment on a house. Nowadays, a typical middle class person cannot even put down a down payment on a house. Why? Because they're paying college loans out the ass, or they're trying to be a papi chulo, you know what I'm saying?
yeah, all this crazy stuff.
Or mommy chulo, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah. You know what I'm saying? Those are New York slang Spanish words, to just let you know. I know you're from Chicago, but
I heard the words before, you know, I listen to hip hop, you know what I mean?
But yeah, man. But let me ask you this question, because I'm about to do, for the sake of doing a documentary, I want your permission if you could be on my documentary. I don't want to say the name because people are thieves, but I'm doing a documentary on demo tapes.
Okay.
You know, people who submitted their demo tapes back in the days. It could be the 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever. Have you, before you started getting placements, did you ever submit demo tapes to big labels?
Yeah, definitely.
What was your experience in that? The first time you did it?
Well, I think one time we got signed, but it was a joke. We were probably signed for a month and the label went out of business.
Oh, shoot.
But it was stuff like that. And one time I went to New York and I went to a lot of offices and dropped my demos in there personally and stuff like that. Yeah.
And what happened? They called you back?
Nah, nobody called, you know. But I went in there and shook some hands and smiled and all that stuff.
You had to get by security or?
No, I didn't, because I went in there with, you ever heard of Wendy Day?
Nah, I haven't.
Yeah, she knows everybody. So basically, I went in there. I went into Duck Down Records. I wanted to go meet Jimmy Henchman. I went to go. They took me to a lot of crazy places that I never even thought I would even be in. You know, but I dropped demos off. But you know, it was nice. You know, but no, I never got any calls back.
Any funny stories? Anything like that?
No, it was just, the story is that some kid from Chicago is going into these offices and meeting people, and it's crazy, you know? But we were lucky enough to know somebody like Wendy Day, and she knows everybody, so we were lucky even to go into these offices. But yeah, nothing ever really happened, so we just stick to what we were doing the independent way, you know? So we just started releasing stuff, and we got a little buzz going that way.
Okay, so y'all were like on little mom and pop stores at first?
Yeah. We started getting like the distribution, the word started getting out, and just started, you know, snowball effect that way.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Have you ever been to Power Play Studios? I used to work there.
No.
That's the legendary studios in New York. You should have been there. That's all the Queen, all the cats you heard here from Queen, especially Kool G Rap. Your man Kool G Rap definitely recorded in Power Play Studios. I think Granddaddy IU recorded at Power Play Studios because he's in Long Island. Power Play's in Queens. You know, Long Island, Queens is right next to each other.
Okay, cool.
So, but yeah, how was it like working with Granddaddy or IU? Because his music, I wasn't really that familiar with him till like a couple of years ago. I'm like, yo, this guy, his music is hot.
Yeah, man. I like I said, I first started as a fan, so I least I listened to Smooth Assassin, which that was like Granddaddy I used, like classic album. And then I was listening to like Percy P when he first came out, and I was like, man, these guys are incredible rappers and stuff like that. But then they came to Chicago through like radio promo, and I knew the people that do radio promo here in Chicago, so they introduced us to those guys. And then we built a relationship with them, and then that's how we were able to work with them. But like IU, and he was cool as hell, so it was easy to just build with him, man. He's a really cool guy, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But Chad, but you, have you ever heard the Smooth Assassin album?
Who?
The Smooth Assassin album by Granddaddy IU?
I have. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, man, it's all Bismarck Key beats, man. It was crazy. It's a really dope album. The beats are dope too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you worked with Co this was when Granddaddy IU was out of Coachella Records, or he was still in Coachella?
Yeah, he was in. That was his album on Coachella. It was his first album on Coachella.
Oh, the first album on Coachella. Yeah, because I'm familiar with. Actually, I still got a Coachella Real to Real that I got from Power Play Studios. Nobody ain't claiming it. I had that for over 20 years.
Wow, that's nice.
You know what I mean? I go that far in hip hop. I go that far.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, but yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you're a DJ too. I hope I didn't make a mistake because I claimed you as a DJ.
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, like I started listening to rap, and then I started buying records. So yeah, I messed around with DJing, but I'm known as a producer though.
Okay, not because you look like a DJ to me. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, because I started DJing, you know what I mean? But yeah, my thing was I also rap, but that was like I made sure I burned all those tapes. But yeah, I'm more of a producer than anything.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, what was your first drum machine? Tell us your first weapon of choice.
Well, here you go. When I first started making beats, like I was broke, so. But I had crew members that owned the first MPC 60. I had a crew member that owned the first SP-12, and then he had the SP-1200, and I had another crew member that had the 3000. So I would use all their machines, but I was broke. I couldn't afford one. So like maybe like late 99, 2000. Then I got my MPC 2000 XL, and that's when I was doing all those floppies and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yep.
So how far are you trying to take digging in the floppies?
Basically, it's just to show that all those old beats, because all those old beats, a lot of people have listened to them on they because I used to sell beat instrumentals and stuff, so they were on instrumentals. So when I play them on floppies, like people recognize them, or they were released on a 12-inch or on somebody's album. So what I do is I have just floppies and I just load them up and do a video for them and people just recognize them. As far as how far I want to go with it, I don't know wherever it may go. I'm just trying to create content and just awareness and then just put them up there so people could see, what the process was and stuff like that. I got many other ideas, but right now that's like my thing right now, the floppy stand.
Okay. Now, being that you're from Chicago and Chicago is the birthplace of house music, have you ever fucked with house music or you don't like it?
Well, here's the thing. when I first got into hip hop, I bought some house records and all that, and I was into house and stuff like that. But eventually, I went more into hip hop, and there was when stuff first started, because here in hip hop, it took a little while to take off. Once it started taking off, there was a little battle between rap and between hip hop and house music. They didn't like each other, but then eventually, all the people that did house started making hip hop and stuff like that.
Wow! I even heard a couple of tracks where people from back in the day was rapping over house music.
Yeah, definitely. That was the hip house. It was called hip house.
Okay. Yeah, hip house. Yeah, yeah. One thing about a lot of people don't realize hip hop and house music, they both drum machine driven. They both made from a drum machine. There's no live instrumentation in both.
Nope. Yeah.
This is why I hate it when people think that when you talk about beat makers, when the average person hears about beat makers or hear the word beat producers, first thing they think about is hip hop. But hip hop don't really dictate the whole beat making culture. Because look at house music. House music was made from a drum machine. Like, people that do house music make house music beats. People that do techno make techno beats.
Yeah, that's true though. Yeah.
You got beat makers that never made a hip hop beat in their life, and they've been making beats for 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, even disco was made on some drum machines. You know?
Oh, for real? I didn't know that.
Yeah, some disco records. I mean, drum machines have been around since the 60s.
Yeah, like late 60s, right? 1968, 69, yeah. Damn, that's like 50 years.
They were terrible, but they were around, you know?
Yeah. The first drum machine, it wasn't the TR-808. It must have been something else. You talking about the late 60s.
Yeah, I mean, it was just little things in wooden boxes and stuff, and it was just like a loop, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Imagine people were like, yo, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, but man.
But eventually, yeah, we got to the, you know, the TR-808 and all that stuff.
Okay. So,
yeah.
As for going back to the artists, what's your favorite joint that you made for an artist, for an MC?
Wow.
What your favorite joints? It's not fair to say it's not fair to ask you one joint, but what's your favorite joints that you made for certain artists or your favorite songs that you produced?
Okay, it sounds like Sincerely with MC Juice or How We Chill Part 2 with Ryan Fest and Juice or maybe Keep the Fame with Percy P, Ryan Fez and Vakim. Just so many songs, you know what I mean? It's Okay by All Natural. Stuff like that. You know, whenever I got to work with, like, my favorite artists, stuff like that. I mean, working with Coogee Rap, you know, doing that song with him, stuff like that, you know?
Have any of your songs actually the labels that any labels you was dealing with, did it actually, how should I phrase this, put out any of your songs as a promo single?
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to remember, but yeah, I think so. It's been a while.
It was mostly album cuts, right?
Yeah, like let's say Cali A did, which Cali A did. They put out singles with my songs.
Okay.
Yeah, I put out some singles on some labels, for sure.
That's cool. Now let me ask you this last question, man. Sure. When you get old, die, gray, whatever, you go back to the essence, what do you want people to specifically know you by? I know your music, but, you know, what... As far as your music, what do you want people to remember you by?
I mean, they'll be able to notice that what I was doing was mainly for love and for the passion of the music, you know?
Okay.
That's basically it, like, because it's really what it is, you know? So, yeah, just I want people to feel that when they listen to the music and they see the videos, because I know that the videos will be around nowadays, you know. So, yeah, when they see the videos and they listen to the music, they'll know that it's a passion. So when somebody in the future gets into music and they might see something from me, they'll be like, you know, that's what I want with music. I want to be able to do it with passion like that guy was doing it back then.
Exactly. Yo, thank you, my brother, for being on the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show. Where can the audience reach you at?
On IG, Panic on the Moment, or on YouTube, Panic on the Beat, or Moment Records. But if you just Google Panic Moment, or just Moment, you know, I'll pop up.
Alright. You'll holler at me if you come down to New York. Let me know, man.
For sure, man. I'm definitely thinking about that in the near future. I'll definitely let you know and stuff like that, man. It was good talking to you, man.
I bet you know people that I know. You know Jay Ronan by any chance?
Jay Ronan? No. Oh, you know what? I know him through the internet. I never met him by face, but I definitely...
Yeah, Jay Ronan is my man. A short Caucasian dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my man. That's one of my homies. Yeah. Big shout out to Jay Ronan.
You definitely know some people, I'm pretty sure, though.
Yeah, he knows. Yeah.
You know, once we start naming some people, I'm sure that I'll be, oh, yeah, I know him.
Yeah, definitely. All right, my man. Thank you, man.
For sure, man. Yeah, have a good night, man. Nice.
Peace. Yeah, that was Panic, DJ, producer, Panic, represents Chicago. Yo, check out his Instagram, man. Panic. And check out Digging in the Floppies, man. It's real entertaining. Anyway, anybody that liked this episode of the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show, follow me on Grind Ethics Instagram and Grind Ethics Media at Instagram. Also, definitely like this episode, I'll be very grateful if anyone could bless me with a donation. It doesn't have to be big. The link is Grind Ethics Cash App. That's Grind Ethics Cash App. And I'm out, peoples. And remember, tell a friend, that's all about the motherfucking grind, basically.